Lunasa. High summer. It would be harvest season soon. Deirdre stood by the rail and surveyed the scene. It should have been a cheerful day, but it brought only anguish to her, for the father she loved and the one-eyed man were going to sell her, and there was nothing she could do. She did not see Conall at first. The custom at the races was that the men rode naked. The tradition was ancient. Centuries ago the Romans had remarked on how the Celtic warriors despised the protection of breastplates and liked to strip naked for battle. A tattooed warrior, his muscles bulging, his hair raised in great spikes, and his face distorted in war frenzy, was a frightening sight, even to trained Roman legionaries. Sometimes these fierce Celtic warriors in their chariots would choose to wear a short cloak that streamed behind them, and in some parts of the Roman Empire the Celtic horsemen would wear breeches. But here, on the Western Island, the tradition of nakedness had been carried into the ceremonial races, and young Conall was wearing nothing but a small protective loincloth. The great festival of Lunasa was held at Cormann once every 3 years. The site of Cormann was eerie. In a land of wild forest and bog, it was an open grassy space that stretched, green and empty, halfway to the horizon. Lying some distance west of the point where, if you were following it upstream, the Liffey's course began to retreat eastwards on the way to its source in the Wicklow Mountains, the place was absolutely flat, except for some mounds in which ancestral chiefs were buried. The festival lasted a week. There were areas reserved for food and livestock markets, and another where fine clothes were sold. But the most important quarter was where a large racetrack was laid out on the bare turf. The track was a magnificent sight. People were encamped all around, in tents or temporary huts, whole clans together. Men and women both were dressed in their brilliant cloaks of scarlet, blue, or green. The men wore the splendid gold torques, like thick amulets, round their necks. The women sported all kinds of ornament and bracelet. Some men were tattooed. Some had long flowing hair and moustaches, others had their hair caked with clay and raised into terrifying, warlike spikes. Here and there stood a splendid war chariot. The horses were in pens. There were campfires where the bards would tell tales. A group of jugglers and acrobats was just arriving. Throughout the camp the sound of a harp, a bone whistle, or a bagpipe could be heard in the summer air, and the scent of roasting meat and honey cakes seemed to mingle in the light smoke that drifted across the scene. And on a ceremonial mound by the racetrack, presiding over the whole proceeding, was the King of Leinster. There were four parts of the island. To the north lay the territories of the ancient tribes of Ullad, the province of warriors. To the west lay a lovely province of magical lakes and wild coasts, the land of the Druids, they called it. To the south, the province of Mumma, renowned for its music. It was there, according to legend, that the sons of Mil had first met the goddess Eriu. And fourthly, in the east lay the rich pastures and fields of the tribes of Lyon. The provinces had been recognized since time out of mind, and as Ulster, Connaught, Munster, and Leinster, they would remain the geographical divisions of the island for all times to come.